a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Welcome on in to KSL's Unrivaled, powered by KSL Sports. Glad to be with you guys. Hope everyone is having a great start to the weekend. It's Friday night. No more work, hopefully, for most of you. Stay safe with the possible storm moving in, but we're glad you're joining us here for a jam-packed show, and I'm pleased to be here with you, Dallin Graff.
Yes, it's nice to be here. We've seen the fans trickle into Vivint Smart Home Arena.
Yep.
Jazz taking on the Warriors tonight. Not quite the illustrious matchup that
it
perhaps could
be.
Have been before the season, but we're excited to be here, have a few fun things in store tonight.
No Alex, obviously, no Scott. Alex, rumor has it he's off on some international excursion somewhere, right?
And Scott's in Florida, I'm assuming fishing, because that's his thing, is fishing. So I'm assuming Scott's having fun out there, and it is Matt and I. That's who you get stuck with today.
Hey, we have a great show planned for you guys. We're going to have some great discussion on what is the best local sports story of this decade. As we're wrapping up and getting ready to move into a new decade, what was the biggest event that happened in this decade? We'll get to that. There's some great stuff from BYU coach Mark Pope on his basketball team as they get ready for the Beehive Classic tomorrow as they play Utah State. Of course, you already mentioned we'll keep tabs on the Jazz as they host the Warriors. But first things first, Alan, there's some smoke, there's some rumblings, potential college football playoff expansion. What does it all mean? That's how we want to start things off here on The Cut.
The Cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. It's 7:05. Here's what made The Cut.
Per Ross Dellinger on Twitter, a Power 5 athletic director in New York this week, said there's a specific 8-team playoff model that is circulating. Very interesting. Obviously, right now, the current format, Dallin, it is a 4-team playoff. Ever since this 4-team playoff was introduced, it's always been, we want more. Can we get 6? Can we get 8? Now we're starting to hear some rumblings. Maybe there's a proposal floating around that it could be expanded to 8 teams. And what are your first thoughts on the college football playoff potentially expanding to more teams?
The 8-team playoff is exactly where I'd like to see it. That is my ideal. And I think fans, we love March Madness, right? You have 68 teams, you know, with the little play-in games, 64-team tournament, 68 teams. And it's just a ton of fun when you see the upsets, you get the number one Virginia's going down. Fans love that. It's entertaining. And you look at college football and you say, why can't we have something like that? I mean, the viability of 64 teams, I mean, that's just not going to happen.
No.
That's fine. But can we get more than 4? And can we get more than just the same 4? It seems like every year it's the same kind of teams. 8 would open that up. In this model, you'd have 5 automatic bids for the Power 5 champs. You'd have 2 at-large bids and 1 group of 5, the highest-ranked group of 5 team would make that 8. That's exactly what I'd like to see. An automatic bid for 1 group of 5, the conference champions get in, and then the 2 next best teams, and then they duke it out in 8. I'm a big fan of it.
I am not a big fan. This is not what I want to see.
You like the 4.
I want to split the difference. I actually like the 4, believe it or not. I think 4 is nice. And one of the reasons I'm a big proponent of 4, Dallin, is I don't want the importance of the regular season to go by the wayside. I want week 1 through week 12 to matter, to be important. And the bigger the playoff expands, the less important it is during the regular season, because you can slip up twice. Right? I mean, right now, it's you can only lose 1 game and then you're out. We just saw that last week with the Utah Utes. They lost against Oregon. See you later. You're out of here. And I like that each week kind of feels like a playoff in the current model. Now, I could be convinced to go to 6. Maybe you give 2 byes to the top seeds. You have that first round of 4, and then you go a little longer. But 8 to me seems like too much. And so I'm not a big fan of this proposal.
You like the sanctity of the playoff, the 4
no,
teams.
No, not the sanctity of the playoff, Dallin. The sanctity of the regular season. That's what I want preserved. I want that opening week, whether it's the first week in August or the first week in September, I want that all the way through the end of November to have the same importance it currently does. And I'm worried that if we go to 8, then the regular season doesn't matter as much.
Well, that's fair, because obviously the margin for error is razor thin. I mean, you lose 1 bad game. Even Utah before the Pac-12 championship game, that 1 loss to USC is already like a, well, are they going to get? I mean, there's a question there, and that's only 1 loss against what ended up being a ranked opponent. So there's a razor thin margin of error there. I like 8 because it still exists. If you win your conference championship, you're getting in. If you're the best group of 5 team, in this case, it would have been Memphis this year, you're in. And then 2 at-large, the next best teams available. In this case, you'd be looking at Georgia, right? And you'd be looking at probably Baylor. I mean, those are probably like the other 2 teams if it were to exist in this
year.
You
don't really believe Georgia or Baylor was going to beat anyone in the opening round, right? I mean,
well, and that's a question, too, is if you do expand it, How good are those first round games? If it's 1 versus 8 and it's LSU versus Memphis, what's the line going to be?
Yeah. And if you
plus
look at
20,
if you look at this specific top 8 and you go 1 versus 8, boom, 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 you could make a case that the games would be blowouts the opening round, and then you'd be into the top 4, which is what we have now. So why play that? The other thing that doesn't get brought up enough with this discussion is, We think about it from a fan's perspective. Oh, I'd love to have 8. You know what? It's hard to fit in more football in college football. It really is. And back when I was, and this was a long time ago, I've always been a college football nerd. I wrote a paper on why, back in college, why the BCS should stay. Now, I'm happy with the 4 teams. I'm glad that I was proven wrong in this paper. But what some of the research I did was athletic directors are worried about the time, because you've got another semester starting. Right now, college football players are taking finals. There's a reason there's a gap between the end of the regular season and the bowl season of the college football. So how do you fit in another round? You don't want it to leak too far into January. There's not a lot of room to play with here. But at the end of the day, if the financial models indicate there's a lot of money to be made, and that's probably the case, then I could see it happening. But it's not as easy as saying, oh, yeah, let's just get 8. Let's get 8 teams in. It's not that easy, Dallin.
For sure. And even if that was the desire, even if that's the direction they're going, it's at least 2 more years on this, you know, 4-team playoff that's going to exist before an expansion could exist. And I agree with you that expanding to 12 or 16 is going to greatly dilute the field.
Forget about 12 and 16. That's ridiculous.
That's too much. But I don't think 8 is going to dilute it that much when you consider conference champions, the best group of 5, and 2 at-large who are going to be top
2
10
at-large
teams
that didn't do enough in the regular season to deserve to get there in the first place, Dallin.
Well, in the current system, but they would in this one. And we look at March Madness, right? And we have upsets. I mean, yes, you could say the 1-16, what's the point in playing that? Like 99 out of 100 times, the 1 seed wins. But when the 16 seed wins, the 1 time, what do fans do? We love it. We absolutely love it, and it would open the door for that possibility of what if Memphis just shows up and just shocks the world and beats an LSU. Now we're like, what, you know, the excitement behind that as fans, we'd love it. Like you said, the money, the more games that are going to be played, the more money there is to be made. And in the end, conferences and college football is going to love that. So I think this is inevitability, in my opinion. But there are some logistics to have to work out.
And I realize that there's probably too much money to leave off the table here, which is why I actually am a big fan of six. Because then you get the five Power Five conference champions. You get them in. You guarantee a group of five if they qualify. And the qualifications, they need to be reasonable. It can't be a top eight type thing. Like, if they're top 15, a 10-win team, they get in. If not, then let's give it to an at-large team like an Alabama or a Georgia who didn't do enough in the regular season to get there, but there's a possibility their season is still there. So if it were me, I would say six and no more than six, but it's probably going to be eight. I don't want to see it be eight, but we've got a long time to go before this gets sorted out, but we're already starting to hear some smoke and some fires with possible expansion.
Absolutely. Let us know on the text line 57500 your thoughts on this. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the biggest local sports stories of the past decade and maybe what is to come. Stick around for more KSL's Unrivaled.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.